Have you ever stopped to think about the invisible ballet that happens every single day? You know, the one that brings you that package you ordered online, or maybe those crucial components that keep a factory humming?
It really does feel almost magically simple sometimes, doesn't it? Like, it's just shipping.
Exactly. But pull back the curtain, and you find this mind-bogglingly complex web of logistics. We're talking billions of pounds of freight moving daily just to keep our lives and, frankly, the global economy flowing.
It's foundational, yeah. Often totally unsung, but absolutely critical to our modern world.
So today, our deep dive takes us right into the heart of that intricate world. We're looking at a company that's undergoing, well, a really remarkable transformation, XPO Inc., traded on the NYSE as XPO. Going to unpack XPO's recent strategic overhaul, try to get to grips with its core business that's less than truckload, or LTL, freight transportation.
Right.
We'll analyze its competitive advantages, its challenges too, and really try to understand why the market seems to see it as a pure play LTL leader in transformation.
And that's our mission today, isn't it? To sort of distill the crucial insights from a pretty comprehensive investment analysis we've looked at, give you, the listener, a shortcut to being genuinely well-informed about a company that, honestly, plays a pivotal role in how goods move.
Right. We want to explore what makes this new XPO tick, go beyond the surface to the strategic decisions shaping its future.
And to really understand XPO today, you have to start with a crucial point. This is not the company it used to be.
Not even close.
Right. Not even close. The new XPO is fundamentally different from its previous incarnation. For years, XPO was this big, diversified logistics conglomerate, kind of a sprawling enterprise, hands in many different parts of the logistics, pie contract logistics, freight brokerage, you name it.
Okay.
But what we've seen more recently is a very deliberate, very strategic pivot. It's all about simplification and intense focus. And that's completely reshaped its identity, its whole operational footprint.
And this wasn't just like a minor reshuffle, was it? We're talking some pretty significant shifts in its corporate structure.
Oh, absolutely. Seismic is a good word. The transformation involved two major spinoffs, really designed to streamline the whole thing. First, back in August 2021, XPO spun off its large contract logistics business that became GXO Logistics, Inc., or just GXO now.
GXO, right. I remember that.
Then, maybe even more critical for XPO's current identity, in November 2022, it spun off its tech-enabled broker transportation platform that's now known as RXO, Inc., or RXO.
Okay, RXO.
And to really cement this new identity, the company officially changed its name, dropped the logistics part, went from XPO Logistics, Inc. to just XPO, Inc. in December 2022.
So why? Why go through all that? You take a successful, diversified company and basically break it apart. Must have been a compelling reason behind such dramatic moves.
Yeah, there was. And the reasoning was exceptionally clear, very strategic. The main goal was to create what they called high-performing pure-play companies.
Pure-play, meaning focused on one thing.
Exactly. Each of these new entities, GXO, RXO, and the transformed XPO, would then have much greater flexibility. They could tailor their strategic decisions, their capital allocation, their operational focus specifically to their own end markets.
Okay, that makes sense. More agility.
Right. And for investors, this simplified structure provides immense clarity. Imagine trying to value that old sprawling conglomerate, all these wildly different business models under one roof. It made for a really complex sum of the parts valuation story.
I can see that.
Now, for XPO, the investment thesis is almost overwhelmingly tied to one thing: the North American less-than-truckload industry. Its performance, its strategy, the cyclical dynamics. That simplification concentrates the company's exposure, sure, but in a way that allows for much clearer analysis, and management believed it would unlock greater shareholder value.
That's a powerful strategic play. So now that we understand the why, what exactly is the core business of this new XPO today?
Okay, so at its heart, the modern XPO is really focused on North American less-than-truckload freight transportation, LTL. This segment isn't just a part of their business. It is the core.
Right.
It's their largest operation, and crucially, it's their most profitable.
And just to clarify for listeners who might not be deep in logistics, when you say less-than-truckload LTL, what does that actually mean? How is it different from, say, parcel delivery or a full truckload?
Good question. Think of it like this. Instead of one shipper filling an entire semi-truck with their goods, that's full truckload, or FTL-LTL carriers specialize in combining smaller shipments from multiple customers onto one truck.
Ah, okay, so sharing the space.
Exactly, sharing the space. It makes it incredibly cost-effective and flexible for businesses that, you know, don't have enough freight to fill a whole trailer but need more space than a standard parcel service like UPS or FedEx Ground offers.
Gotcha.
And XPO's LTL segment, it offers extensive geographic density and these day-definite domestic and cross-border services. Their reach is quite impressive. They cover approximately 99% of U.S. zip codes.
99%.
Yeah. Plus key trade lanes into Mexico, Canada, and even the Caribbean.
That's quite the footprint. So yeah. What kind of volume are we talking about here annually?
Well, in fiscal year 2024 alone, their LTL segment moved roughly 18 billion pounds of freight.
Billion. With a B.
With a B, yeah. For around 36,000 different shippers. That gives you a real sense of the sheer scale and, frankly, the importance of their operation. They command an estimated 9% share of the U.S. LTL market.
Okay, 9%, so a major player.
Definitely. It solidifies their position as one of the top carriers in what is, importantly, a highly consolidated industry. Not many huge players control most of the market.
And they have something unique, right? A specific competitive advantage regarding their equipment, something that really sets them apart.
They absolutely do. And this is, I think, a truly fascinating aspect of their strategy. XPO has a vertically integrated in-house trailer manufacturing operation.
They build their own trailers.
They build their own trailers. They don't just buy them from outside suppliers. In 2023, for instance, they produced over 6,400 trailers themselves.
Wow. Why? What's the advantage?
Well, it's not just about potential cost savings, though that might be part of it. It directly hedges against supply chain disruptions and price volatility in the equipment market. It ensures they have the assets they need when they need them. That kind of self-reliance is pretty rare in this industry.
That seems huge. Control over a key input.
It is. And financially, this North American LTL segment is the engine. Generated a substantial $4.9 billion in revenue and an impressive $1.12 billion in adjusted EBITDA for 2024.
Okay. But beyond their North American core, they still have a presence across the Atlantic, right? The European transportation business.
Yes, that's right. It's a complementary piece, but still a very substantial part of the overall business. It offers a pretty diverse suite of services throughout Europe.
Like what kind of services?
Things like dedicated truckload services, LTL often structured through specialized talent networks over there, full truckload brokerage, managed transportation solutions, even last mile delivery. And they also do multimodal solutions, combining different transport methods like rail and road for efficiency.
And are they a big player in Europe or more niche?
No, they hold some pretty significant leadership positions in key markets. They boast market leadership in France and the Iberian Peninsula, that's Spain and Portugal, for both full truckload brokerage and their LTL pallet network services.
Okay.
And they're also a top-tier dedicated truckload provider in the UK, so definitely significant. For the full year 2024, that European segment brought in $3.17 billion in revenue and an adjusted EBITDA of $158 million.
So still substantial, even if smaller than North American LTL, provides some diversification.
Exactly. It's an important contributor.
So how does this whole integrated system work? What's the basic operating model and what's the promise to customers? What's their value proposition?
Well, XPO operates this vast integrated network. As of mid-2025, that meant about 608 locations and roughly 38,000 employees. Their main focus, North American LTL, is built on the classic hub-and-spoke model. You have smaller terminals, the spokes, collecting freight, consolidating it at larger central hubs, then sending it out to other hubs, and finally out for delivery via other spokes.
Right, the classic model.
Yes, but it's a capital-intensive setup, requires huge investment in terminals, tractors, trailers. But that very capital intensity creates high barriers to entry for competitors. And it allows established players like XPO to get significant network efficiencies and operating leverage as they fill those trucks.
And their value proposition, what they tell customers. It seems heavily focused on reliability, which makes sense in a complex system like that. Not just speed, but consistency.
Exactly right. XPO's stated value proposition is deeply centered on delivering superior, reliable service.
Mm-hmm.
Management consistently hammers this point. Improvements in key service metrics are their core differentiator. They're trying to move the conversation beyond just price.
Do they have the numbers to back that up?
They do. To give you some tangible examples, as of Q2 2025, XPO had achieved its 13th consecutive quarter of year-over-year improvement in on-time performance.
13 quarters. That's over 3 years of continuous improvement.
It is. And they've driven their damage claims ratio down to an incredibly low 0.3%.
0.3%. That means, what, only three shipments out of 1,000 have a damage claim?
On average, yes. Which is remarkably low in this business.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
So how does that level of reliability translate into a competitive edge, especially when, you know, competitors might just be fighting on price?
Well, it's fundamental to their commercial strategy. In LTL, price is often king, right? But
Yeah.
if you can build a reputation for superior, consistent service, you can shift the conversation with customers. It becomes less about the absolute lowest price and more about a durable, value-based relationship.
Because disruptions cost money.
Huge amounts of money. If you can minimize the risk of late or damaged shipments, which can cause incredibly costly problems for customers, think manufacturing line shutdowns, retail stockouts, then you can command stronger pricing, what the industry calls yield.
Okay, yield, the revenue per shipment, basically.
Essentially, yes. This ability to leverage service quality into pricing power is critical to XPO's strategy for long-term margin expansion. It sets them apart from carriers just competing on the lowest bid. It's about being the reliable partner, not just the cheapest option.
That makes perfect sense. So with that foundation laid, let's zoom out a bit. Look at the broader environment XPO operates in. First, that core North American LTL market. It's truly a critical pillar of the economy, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Foundational is the right word. It plays an indispensable role in the supply chain for pretty much every industry, and it's characterized by its large scale and steady
I'm
growth.
big with the talk.
Well, market size estimates vary a bit, as they always do, but the consensus points to a substantial and growing market. One estimate put the North American LTL market at about $84.6 billion in 2024, projected to hit $120.6 billion by 2030. That's a CAGR, compound annual growth rate, of around 6.1% projected from 2025 to 2030.
Okay, solid growth.
Yeah, another study focusing just on the U.S. estimated it at $114 billion in 2025, growing at maybe 4.13% CAGR to reach nearly $140 billion by 2030. So whichever numbers you use, the message is clear. Consistent mid-single-digit secular growth is generally expected.
And what's really driving that growth? What are the key tailwinds?
Several things. The continued expansion of e-commerce is a big one. It just necessitates more frequent, smaller shipments to restock inventory at fulfillment centers, distribution hubs, retail stores, perfect LTL freight.
Right. Not always full truckloads needed for e-com replenishment.
Exactly. The industrial economy is also critical, historically making up about two-thirds of LTL volume. So its health directly impacts things. And then you've got emerging trends like nearshoring companies bringing manufacturing closer to home for supply chain resilience and also significant government infrastructure investments. Both are seen as positive long-term drivers for freight demand, more stuff being made and moved.
Given those drivers, what's the market structure like? Is it fragmented or is there more discipline?
It's actually highly concentrated, which is crucial. The top 10 carriers control over 75% of the market.
Wow, over three quarters.
Yeah. That structure, plus those high capital costs we talked about, building and maintaining a national terminal network, the trucks, the tech, it creates significant barriers to entry for new players.
So less competition trying to undercut prices.
Generally, yes. It fosters a more rational pricing environment. Historically, the industry has shown strong pricing discipline. Carriers usually implement annual general rate increases, GRIs, often in the 3% to 8% range.
Okay.
Now, the environment in 2025 is maybe a bit more nuanced. Some analysts are forecasting more modest rate increases, maybe 1-3%. That's partly due to capacity coming back online after the Yellow Corporation bankruptcy in 2023, plus a softer overall macroeconomic backdrop. So a bit more complexity right now.
Okay, let's shift focus across the Atlantic, the European transportation market. How does that compare? Size, dynamics.
Well, the European logistics market is vast, estimated at around $782.8 billion in 2024.
Huge.
Huge, with a projected CAGR of 7.3% through 2030. But the near-term outlook is a bit more subdued. Forecasts for 2025 are looking at more conservative growth, maybe around 2%.
Why it's slow down there?
Mostly constrained by persistent economic headwinds and a sluggish industrial sector. That's been particularly noticeable in Germany's economy, which has been contracting. So still growing, but maybe not quite as fast in the immediate term.
And what are the big trends shaping that European market? Any unique challenges?
Key trends are pretty similar in some ways: rapid adoption of digitalization and AI for efficiency. the continued rise of e-commerce demanding faster, more flexible solutions, but with, you know, added cross-border complexities in Europe.
Right. Different countries, different rules.
Exactly. And a very strong push, both regulatory and customer-driven, towards sustainability and green logistics. That's really influencing fleet choices and how they operate.
And challenges.
Big challenges on the labor front. Persistent skill shortages, complexities of managing a cross-border workforce, and ongoing wage inflation. That definitely impacts profitability over there.
Now, you mentioned e-commerce earlier as a tailwind for LTL, but it also brings challenges, right? It's kind of a double-edged sword for carriers.
It absolutely is. Yes, it's a powerful long-term volume driver because smaller, frequent shipments fit the LTL model perfectly. But it introduces significant operational complexities that carriers have to manage really well. Think about high rates of product returns. That requires incredibly efficient reverse logistics getting stuff back through the supply chain. Then you have severe capacity crunches during peak seasons, like the holidays. Demand spikes unpredictably.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, those heightened customer expectations for super fast last mile delivery, which is historically the most complex and costly part of the whole journey. Traffic, lots of stops, specific delivery windows. It's tough.
So for a company like XPO, handling e-commerce profitably means they can't just throw more trucks at it. It needs something more sophisticated.
Exactly. You need serious investment in technology. Advanced transportation management systems, TMS, to optimize routes and loads. Real-time tracking that customers just expect now. Sophisticated route optimization tools. It creates a divide, really. It favors the large, well-capitalized carriers like XPO who can make those big investments over smaller players who just can't keep up.
That makes perfect sense. So let's talk about how XPO actually stacks up against the competition.
Yeah.
And what gives it that strategic moat, those unique advantages that protect its business? Who are the main rivals in North America?
Okay, so XPO operates in a competitive, but like we said, pretty rational landscape, especially in its core North American LTL space. Its main competitors are well-established national and multi-regional carriers, big names.
Like who?
You've got Old Dominion Freight Line, ODFL, Saia Inc., SAIA, ArcBest, ARCB, TFI International, TFI, and the LTL division of FedEx, FedEx Freight. These are the big guys, the upper echelon. They're the most relevant benchmarks for XPO.
And they have significant scale, too.
Oh, yeah. ODFL operates, I think, 261 service centers. Saia has over 200 terminals. ArcBest has around 250 locations. These are all major networks they're competing against.
And in Europe, where you said it's more fragmented?
Right. In Europe, XPO competes with global giants like DHL, DB Schenker, Kuhn Plus Mädel, but also numerous regional and local players that are specific to different countries or service types. It's a broader, more diverse competitive field over there.
Okay, so with all that context, what are XPO's truly unique competitive advantages? What specifically sets them apart and helps build that moat against these powerful rivals?
Well, with that roughly 9% share of the U.S. LTL market, they're firmly a top-tier national player. And they've cultivated several key advantages. First, just their network scale and density. That huge network of 608 locations gives them comprehensive coverage and, as we discussed, creates significant barriers to entry.
Right.
That scale allows for operational efficiencies in consolidating freight, in the long line haul movements between terminals, in final mile delivery that are just incredibly hard for smaller guys to replicate. Think of it like having more spokes and hubs on a bike wheel. It just makes the whole system stronger and more efficient.
And they're not just relying on physical assets, right? Technology is a big part of it, too.
Absolutely. Their proprietary technology is another major advantage. XPO has invested heavily in developing its own tech platforms for pricing, for network optimization, for customer service. This tech is a key enabler of their yield management strategy, getting the best revenue per shipment, and their constant push to drive efficiency using data analytics and, increasingly, AI.
Now, you mentioned something earlier that really stood out, that vertical integration and self-reliance.
Yeah.
Building their own trailers, running driver schools. That's not typical, is it? Can you expand on that? Why is it so critical?
Yeah, this is, I think, a truly fascinating and maybe underappreciated part of XPO's competitive moat. They have these unique in-house capabilities that really differentiate them and give them a buffer against common industry bottlenecks.
Like the trailer manufacturing.
Exactly. Operating their own trailer facility, producing over 6,400 trailers in-house in 2023 alone. It's not just about maybe saving some money. It directly hedges against supply chain disruptions and price swings in the equipment market. They can get the specific assets they need when they need them without being totally reliant on outside suppliers who might have their own issues.
And it goes beyond just equipment too, right?
Yeah.
Tackling the driver shortage.
Precisely. They run this extensive network of 130 commercial driver schools across the country. In 2022, for example, they trained over 1,700 new drivers through these schools.
Wow.
This directly addresses the chronic driver shortages and wage pressures that plague the whole trucking industry. I mean, the industry faces an aging driver workforce, struggles to attract younger folks. It's a constant challenge. This tight labor market pushes wages up, potentially hurting profits. XPO's own 10K, their annual report, explicitly flags attracting and retaining drivers as a key risk.
So by doing this training in-house, they're basically, what, de-risking a huge part of their operations?
Taking control. That's the heart of it. These investments in self-reliance are a sophisticated strategy to de-risk the business from two of the industry's biggest, most persistent headaches: equipment shortages and driver availability.
Mm-hmm.
By controlling a portion of their own supply of these critical inputs, XPO gets greater command over its growth path, its cost structure, and its ability to deliver that high-quality service consistently. They can expand their fleet and driver pool more predictably, maybe more economically, than competitors totally dependent on third parties and the open market.
It sounds like a tangible long-term advantage.
It really is. This self-sufficiency provides a crucial degree of insulation from market volatility. It allows them to turn industry-wide challenges into their own competitive strengths, which, you know, is often the hallmark of really strong strategic thinking.
That's a profound insight into their resilience. So let's turn now to how these strategies have actually played out. What's XPO's recent performance look like, especially in this post-spinoff era?
Okay, yeah. If you look at XPO's financials since the big spinoffs, you see a company that's been navigating a tough freight market while focusing hard on profitability and operational improvement. For fiscal year 2024, they reported revenue over $8 billion.
Okay.
That generated operating income of $660 million, and net income from continuing operations hit $387 million. What's really striking is the trajectory. Net income more than doubled from 2022 to 2024.
Doubled in 2 years.
Yeah. And their adjusted diluted earnings per share saw a remarkable jump too. That signals much stronger underlying profitability, even with the broader market headwinds.
And of course, the North American LTL segment is the engine driving this. How has that specific segment performed recently?
That segment is absolutely the primary driver of profit and the focus of their strategy. Looking at recent quarterly results for LTL in Q2 2025, it generated $1.24 billion in revenue, operating income of $199 million, and adjusted EBITDA of $300 million.
Okay. And what about efficiency, that operating ratio?
Right. The adjusted operating ratio, or lower, is better. Remember, was 82.9% in Q2 2025. That indicates strong cost control. And importantly, it showed continuous improvement. It went from 86.2% in Q4 2024 down to 85.9% in Q1 25 and now 82.9% in Q2 25. That consistent downward trend is a very positive sign.
So we're seeing some really interesting dynamics here. And the source material highlights a particular strategy that seems key. Their price over volume strategy.
Yeah.
That sounds, well, maybe counterintuitive for a logistics company. Tell us about that.
It's an absolutely crucial insight, yes. And it really shows management's discipline. We've seen this clear divergence in two key performance metrics for XPO. On one side, they've shown remarkable pricing power. Their yield revenue per hundredweight, excluding fuel, has shown consistent, strong year-over-year growth. In Q2 2025, for instance, yield was up 6.1% year-over-year.
Okay, strong pricing.
Very strong.
Yeah.
This clearly points to that successful strategy of focusing on high-quality, profitable freight.
At the same time, their overall volumes, the amount of freight they're moving, have been declining, right? That's the paradox.
Precisely. In contrast to that strong pricing, they've faced volume headwinds because of the broader freight recession. Tonnage per day, for example, decreased by 6.7% year over year in Q2 2025.
Mm.
However, it's worth noting, management commentary suggests these volume trends are actually improving relative to normal seasonality, and the year over year comparisons are getting less difficult as the market slowly finds its footing.
So this divergence, strong prices, weaker volume, it isn't just happening to them. It's a deliberate choice.
Yeah.
What's the thinking and what does it mean long term?
It's absolutely evidence of an active price over volume strategy. Think about it. During a freight recession like we saw in 2023, 2025, many carriers might be tempted to slash prices just to fill their trucks, try to keep volume up, hold on to market share.
Right. Chase the volume.
XPO chose the opposite path. They leveraged their strong service, their network, their advantages to hold or even increase prices on the good, profitable freight, even if it meant letting some less profitable volume go in the short term.
That takes discipline.
It does, and it was particularly evident in Q2 2025. XPO was reportedly the only public LTL carrier to achieve year-over-year improvement in its adjusted operating ratio during that quarter.
Wow, only one.
Yeah. So this strategy protects profitability during the downturn, and crucially, it positions them with significant operating leverage for when the market recovers. When freight demand inevitably comes back, XPO can layer that new volume into its network at these higher established price points. That should drive a rapid expansion in margins and profits. It's really a masterclass in managing a cyclical business by focusing on long-term value, not just short-term volume.
That's a fascinating approach. Let's talk about some of the major strategic changes and recent developments that really define XPO's journey from, say, 2022 to 2024.
Okay. Yeah, this period was one of really profound transformation for XPO, defined by the final steps in simplifying the company and then aggressively executing this new focused growth strategy for LTL.
Starting with that RXO spinoff.
Right. The completion of the corporate simplification came with spinning off RXO in November 2022. That was the end point of that multi-year plan to separate the different businesses into distinct pure-play public companies. The rationale, as we said, was focus, tailored strategy, unlocking value. RXO itself launched as the fourth largest truckload broker in the U.S. with its own digital freight marketplace.
And once that was done, all eyes turned to this LTL 2.0 growth plan. Sounds pretty ambitious.
It certainly is. With the structure simplified, management's full focus pivoted to executing LTL 2.0. It's this comprehensive, multi-year strategic plan, started back in Q4 2021, still ongoing, designed purely to drive profitable growth and significant margin expansion in North American LTL.
What are the main pillars of that plan?
Several key pillars. Continuously improving network efficiencies to boost customer service. Deploying that proprietary pricing tech to accelerate yield growth. Making significant long-term investments in network capacity, that means fleet and terminals. And driving cost efficiencies through things like insourcing line haul miles.
Insourcing line haul. Meaning using their own trucks and drivers for the long hauls between hubs instead of hiring other carriers.
Exactly. More control, potentially better cost management.
And they've set some aggressive financial targets for LTL 2.0.
Yes, quite ambitious targets for the period from 2021 to 2027. They're aiming for a revenue CAGR of 6% to 8%, an adjusted EBITDA CAG of 11% to 13%, and, importantly, at least 600 basis points of improvement in their adjusted operating ratio.
600 basis points?
Yeah.
That's a 6 percentage point reduction in the OR. That's huge.
It's a very substantial efficiency gain they're targeting, yes.
But maybe the most pivotal development, what their CEO called a once-in-a-generation opportunity, was buying those terminals from the bankrupt Yellow Corporation. That must have been a real game changer.
It absolutely was a defining moment. In December 2023, XPO acquired 28 service centers from Yellow, picked up 26 they now own, assumed leases on two more. Total price, $870
million. $870
million.
Big bet.
A big bet. But as the CEO Mario Harrick said, a once-in-a-generation opportunity to strategically bulk up capacity in critical, growing freight markets. Remember, building a new LTL terminal from scratch can take years, permits, zoning, construction. It's slow.
So how did this acquisition accelerate their LTL 2.0 plan? It sounds like they got to jump ahead years of development.
That's exactly it. They leapfrogged years of organic development. The integration of these assets has been remarkably quick, too, with nearly all of them operational by mid-2025.
And how are they using these new terminals? Just adding capacity?
It's twofold, really. Some locations are net new additions, expanding their reach significantly. Others are larger, more modern facilities that let them relocate from older, less efficient terminals they already had.
Smart. Upgrade the network.
Very smart. A prime example was selling off an old terminal in Queens, New York for over $50 million after moving operations to a larger, better located facility in Brooklyn that they got in the Yellow deal. That one sale generated a $34 million gain.
Nice bit of financial maneuvering there.
Absolutely. So this acquisition really should be seen as a strategic accelerant for LTL 2.0. The sudden availability of Yellow's prime real estate portfolio let XPO bypass those years of slow, costly organic expansion. It instantly added about 2,900 loading doors to their network and significantly boosted their presence in key markets like Atlanta, Houston, Nashville.
And that directly feeds into the LTL 2.0 goals.
Directly. It improves network density, which helps reduce stem time, that's the non-revenue driving time, getting to the first pickup or back from the last delivery. And it increases capacity to absorb more freight. both enhance service and efficiency. It's really a textbook example of a strategic M&A move dramatically accelerating long-term plans.
Okay, so XPO has transformed, made smart moves, positioned itself well. But, you know, no business operates in a vacuum. There are always bumps in the road. What are some of the key industry headwinds and company-specific challenges XPO faces, even with all this progress?
Right. Despite the strategic wins, XPO operates in a cyclical industry and faces several notable headwinds. The biggest near-term challenge has just been the persistent softness in the freight market. Since 2023, management has consistently talked about a soft freight environment and macro pressure causing those year-over-year declines in tonnage and shipments.
So the overall economy is a big factor.
Huge. This cyclical downturn affects all carriers. Driven by things like fluctuating inventory levels, industrial production trends, consumer spending. During their Q2 2025 earnings call, management even pointed to macro TAR and tariff uncertainty causing softer weight per shipment in June. It just highlights how sensitive the business is to broader economic and geopolitical factors, which are often hard to predict.
Beyond the general economy, trucking famously struggles with labor. How does that hit XPO specifically?
Yeah, the U.S. trucking industry faces these systemic labor challenges, ongoing operational and cost pressures. We talked about the aging driver workforce, the struggle to attract younger generations, the chronic shortage of qualified drivers.
Yeah.
This tight labor market puts constant upward pressure on wages and benefits. Forecasts point to more wage increases, which can eat into profit margins if not managed carefully. XPO's own 10K explicitly mentions the difficulty in attracting and retaining drivers, and also the potential costs and disruptions if unions try to organize their workforce as key company-specific risks.
And integrating those yellow terminals, huge opportunity, yes, but also a massive operational task, right, with its own complexities.
Definitely a double-edged sword. Successfully integrating 28 new terminals is a major strategic win, but it's also a significant operational challenge. You've got to seamlessly align IT systems, hire and train new people, reroute complex freight flows to actually get those efficiencies.
Yeah, that sounds messy.
It can be. The company's own risk disclosures admit that unsuccessful acquisitions can lead to integration problems, distract management, and cause broader business disruption. It has to be executed well.
And there's an interesting paradox that comes with that expansion, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
This idea of having excess capacity in the short term, even as they plan for future growth.
This is a really crucial point for understanding where XPO is right now. That aggressive network expansion, especially with the Yellow deal, has created this paradox of excess capacity in the short term.
They built it, but the volume hasn't fully come yet.
Essentially, yes.
Yep.
XPO hit its strategic goal of having about 30% excess door capacity across its network. Now, while this positions them exceptionally well for a future freight upswing, they can absorb new business quickly. It creates what's called a negative operating leverage drag during the current freight recession.
Yang.
Meaning LTL is a business with high fixed costs, terminals, equipment. If you have significant underutilized capacity, those fixed costs get spread over fewer revenue-generating shipments. That puts near-term pressure on the operating ratio, making it higher than it would be if the network was full.
So it's an investment that hurts margins now but should pay off later.
That's the bet. The whole investment thesis is predicated on the idea that when the freight cycle turns, this pre-invested capacity will let XPO absorb a surge in volume at very high incremental margins, leading to rapid profit growth. But for now, management has to manage the costs of this excess capacity carefully until demand really picks up.
And what about the European business? You mentioned some uncertainty there.
Yes. A kind of lingering challenge is the strategic ambiguity around the European transportation segment. The company's board has had this long-standing authorization to potentially sell off the European business.
Really? They might sell it?
They might. There's no certainty if or when it could happen or on what terms, but this possibility creates an overhang of uncertainty for employees, for customers over there, and for investors trying to value the whole company. Their 10K flags this as a specific risk, noting that a divestiture would make XPO smaller, less geographically diversified, and potentially more vulnerable just to the ups and downs of the U.S. market.
So how does XPO deal with all these risks?
Yeah.
What are their mitigation strategies for navigating these bumps, especially in a cyclical business?
Well, they've implemented several proactive strategies, and what's interesting is how many tie back into their core strengths and growth plans. For fuel price volatility, for instance, they use fuel surcharge programs in most customer contracts. These are designed to pass a significant chunk of fuel cost changes directly to the customer, protecting XPO's margins.
Okay, that makes sense.
And those driver schools and the trailer manufacturing we talked about, they aren't just for growth, they're fundamental risk management tools too.
Ah, right. The vertical integration pays off defensively too.
Exactly. To tackle the driver shortage, that network of 130 driver schools creates a dedicated pipeline of new drivers, reducing reliance on the competitive open market and mitigating wage pressures. Similarly, the in-house trailer manufacturing provides that crucial hedge against equipment supply chain issues and price volatility.
And competition.
Technology.
To mitigate competition and boost efficiency, their heavy investment in proprietary tech and AI is key. It drives down costs, improves service, creates a more defensible market position. And finally, on the financial risk side, they actively manage their balance sheet. That debt refinancing in February 2025, extending maturities, locking in terms that provides greater financial stability.
So it's an integrated approach. Growth strategies also act as defenses.
Precisely. It's a sophisticated way to operate, turning industry-wide challenges into their own competitive strengths by integrating offensive growth strategies with defensive risk management.
That really ties it all together. Mm-hmm. So looking ahead, what does the path forward look like for XPO? What are the biggest growth opportunities? And what's the financial outlook?
Okay, looking forward, XPO's strategy focuses on several key growth levers. The aim is market share gains, margin expansion, long-term shareholder value. And the biggest opportunity, arguably, stems directly from that market disruption caused by Yellow's bankruptcy in 2023.
Right, the elephant leaving the room.
Exactly. Yellow's liquidation fundamentally reshaped the LTL landscape, removing a huge chunk of capacity. This created that once-in-a-generation opportunity for the remaining well-capitalized carriers, like XDO, to grab displaced freight and capture permanent market share from a longtime competitor.
And XPO's expanded network, with those Yellow terminals, positions them perfectly to capitalize. They're ready for an influx.
Absolutely. Their concurrent investment in the network means they're set up to be a primary beneficiary of this market realignment. With that bigger footprint and that stated 30% buffer of excess capacity, they are structured to handle a significant increase in volume when the market recovers.
And management expects high profits on that new volume.
Very high. They've expressed strong confidence in this operating leverage, forecasting that incremental margins during the next cyclical upswing will be comfortably over 40%.
Over 40%. So for every extra dollar of revenue, 40 cents or more drops to the bottom line.
That's the projection, indicating potentially rapid profit growth when volumes return.
And their disciplined pricing strategy, that price over volume thing that continues.
Indeed. They intend to continue that disciplined approach, leveraging their proprietary tech and AI analytics to optimize yield. The fact they demonstrated consistent above-market yield growth during the recession really underscores the effectiveness of differentiating through service to command premium prices. They aim to keep doing that, reinforcing those value-based customer relationships.
Speaking of technology, this AI stuff sounds really interesting. You mentioned tangible advancements, not just buzzwords.
This is where it gets really concrete, yeah. It shows how traditional industries are evolving. While lots of companies talk vaguely about AI, XPO's management has started giving specific, quantifiable improvements from their AI initiatives.
Like what?
During that Q2 2025 earnings call, they reported their new AI-powered line haul models optimizing those long routes between hubs were already generating real results. Things like a 3% reduction in normalized line haul miles, a decrease in empty miles, non-revenue miles of over 10%, and a remarkable reduction in inefficient freight diversions more than 80%.
Those are significant numbers. What's the real-world impact?
They translate directly into substantial cost savings. Less fuel used, lower driver hour needs, less wear and tear on trucks. Successfully using AI to optimize the incredibly complex routing of a national LTL network is a major competitive advantage. It directly improves the operating ratio.
And they're expanding its use.
Yes. They're now piloting AI for pickup and delivery operations, that tricky last mile. That suggests a broader rollout across the network. What this means is a meaningful chunk of XPO's future margin improvement might come from these internal tech-driven initiatives that could make their performance less dependent on the ups and downs of the macroeconomy than in the past, because these are efficiency gains they control.
And beyond core LTL, any specific niche growth areas?
Yes. They're also targeting growth in higher margin value-added services. Management specifically highlighted their grocery consolidation service.
Grocery consolidation?
Yeah. It's an estimated $1 billion niche market, apparently has attractive margins. XPO is currently underrepresented there, but sees significant potential. basically consolidating smaller grocery shipments into more efficient loads, offering a tailored high-value service.
Okay. Finally, let's touch on financial strategy and capital allocation. Sounds like they're in a heavy investment phase.
They are. Supporting LTL 2.0 requires significant investment. Their long-term strategy targets average annual capital expenditures between 8% and 12% of revenue through 2027. For 2025, they guided for $600 million to $700 million in gross CapEx.
Wow. Where's that money going?
Into the fleet, the service centers, and technology platforms. And these big investments are expected to be funded mainly through cash on hand, cash from operations, available liquidity, so largely self-funding this ambitious growth.
And how are they managing debt through all this?
Proactively. In February 2025, they successfully refinanced their main term loan, pushing major debt maturities out to 2028 and 2031. That gives them more financial flexibility, reduces near-term refinancing risk. Management's also stated a long-term goal of getting an investment-grade credit rating, which would lower borrowing costs further.
And there's been a notable shift recently, right? Something new for investors, a renewed focus on shareholder returns.
This is indeed a significant inflection point, signals growing confidence. In March 2025, the board authorized a new, upsized share repurchase program up to $750 million.
Buying back their own stock?
Exactly. They started doing it in Q2 2025, bought back $10 million worth. Initiating a meaningful buyback like this signals management believes the company can generate sustainable free cash flow beyond its significant CapEx needs.
So cash left over after investing in growth.
Right. Management even said they plan to scale up our buyback activity as our free cash flow increases. For investors, this marks a shift. It's not just a pure growth investment story anymore. It's becoming a more balanced approach that now includes direct capital returns, that adds a new way to create value beyond just operational growth.
So with all that transformation, performance, ambitious plans, how is the market actually valuing XPO right now? Are investors buying the story?
Well, XPO's valuation definitely reflects market optimism about the transformation and future earnings. The multiples are at a premium compared to some peers. As of late July 2025, XPO was trading at a price-to-earnings, or PE, ratio somewhere in the 39x to 42x range.
That sounds high for this industry.
It is notably higher than several direct competitors. One analysis showed XPO's PE at 36.4x versus an industry average of 26.0x. Peers like ArcBest were trading at 9.6x, FedEx at 13.2x. Its enterprise value to EBITDA multiple was also elevated, around 16.1x LTM, compared to Saia at 11.5x or ArcBest way down at 5.8x.
That's quite a premium, especially considering they've had negative tonnage growth recently. What's the paradox there? Why is the market paying up?
That's the key question. This premium exists despite that recent negative tonnage growth, which normally wouldn't support such a high valuation.
Yeah.
It really suggests investors are looking through the current cyclical freight downturn.
Looking past the current dip.
Exactly. They seem to be valuing the company based on its anticipated normalized earnings power once the freight market recovers. The valuation looks like a direct endorsement of the strategic transformation. Investors are paying a premium for that significant operating leverage management has built in through LTL 2.0, the Yellow acquisitions, the tech initiatives.
So the market expects huge profit growth when things turn around.
That's the anticipation baked into the price, that these factors will translate into accelerated, maybe even outsized EPS growth when the freight cycle inevitably turns positive.
Okay. So as we wrap up this deep dive into XPO, let's just quickly summarize the key takeaways for our listener and maybe revisit those risks and mitigations.
Sure. To recap quickly, XPO has undergone this really remarkable transformation, shed the conglomerate past, become a focused pure-play leader in North American LTL. Its unique competitive advantages, especially that vertical integration, the trailer making, the driver schools, provide a tangible moat against common industry headaches like equipment and driver shortages.
Right.
Their price over volume strategy proved highly effective during the downturn, protecting profits. And bold moves like the Yellow acquisition have strategically positioned them for big market share gains and operating leverage when the market recovers.
And technology underpinning it all.
Underpinning it all. Substantial investments in proprietary tech and AI are already generating quantifiable efficiencies, potentially making future margin gains less dependent on the macro environment. Now, they still face headwinds, macro softness, labor pressures, integration complexities, but their proactive mitigation strategies, things like fuel surcharges, the driver schools, in-house manufacturing, tech investment, debt management, they're all integrated to turn challenges into strengths.
That's a fantastic overview. So what does this all mean for you, our listener? How does understanding a company like XPO give you that shortcut to being well-informed about a crucial, maybe often overlooked, part of the economy?
Well, I think it shows you that even in seemingly traditional industries like trucking, there's incredible strategic depth and innovation happening. XPO's story reveals these fundamental principles of business strategy, how to navigate market cycles, how to build competitive advantage through smart, sometimes counterintuitive moves.
Yeah.
It highlights how a company can completely reinvent itself, leverage technology and internal capabilities to unlock new value, even in mature markets.
And that leads us to a final thought for you to maybe ponder. In a world that's driven by ever-increasing speed and precision, how much more valuable will companies become that can guarantee not just delivery, but reliable delivery, even if it comes at a premium?
Mm-hmm. A great question.
And what does XPO's significant, quantifiable investment in AI for its core logistics operations tell us about the future of other traditional industries? The lines are definitely blurring, and the future of how goods move might look very different from what we imagine today. That's all for this deep dive into XPO. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.